Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
This is LaBeth saying good afternoon. You're going to be hearing from the Journal. They've got a nice guest speaker week coming up. And just to look forward to seeing you next Friday at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1 with Treasure Chest of Big Band Music with your hostess, LaBeth, L-A-B-E-T-H, as in Elizabeth, okay? But thank you again and look forward to seeing you next Friday. The next sound you'll be hearing from the Journal and Jay.
Good afternoon. This is the new WHFR Journal for Friday, December 21st, 2007. Local news and views for this holiday season. Hope you're all not too stressed out from shopping out there. We'll give a report and we'll give Reverend Billy's words for the season. We talked about him before. And a special guest in the studio from Peace Action of Michigan. Yes, it's the season for maybe thinking about peace and love. What a concept. So we're going to begin with our usual theme. This is the new WHFR Journal, WHFR Dearborn.
Oh,
welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal from WHFR.FM, the station making waves. From Henry Ford Community College, and we need to tell you first off that this is the last day to physically come to campus to enroll in the winter semester before our semester break. And we'll be playing announcements about that over the past. If you have not come here as a student before, then you need to go through admissions. And I think they're staying open at least till 4:30 today, if not a little bit later on campus. You have to do that in person. Bring some ID and documents that show you exist, and maybe transcripts from other schools or whatever. And it doesn't take very long to get admitted. Now, over the break, if you have been a student here in the past, you have been admitted in the past, you can proceed to check out our website, hfcc.edu, for enrollment possibilities, and you can actually complete it over the internet that way. And school opens again for in-person counseling and admissions on Wednesday, January 2nd. So just keep that in mind in case you're looking to some life enrichment or career enhancement or new direction possibilities in the new year. I'm joined in the studio today for the new WHFR Journal by my news director here at WHFR, Susan Morell. I'll say hello to her, and this is the mic check time. So how are you doing today, Susan?
Very good. It's a beautiful winter day. The sky is blue, and the birds are singing.
Well, that just about says it all, doesn't it? Yes. Thank you for that cheery outlook. It is that a wonderful season. But our special guest in the studio is Keith Gunter, who is with Peace Action of Michigan. And Keith, I'd like to begin by having you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background. And then, of course, we have to let people know a definition of what is the nature of the organization Peace Action of Michigan. Let's start with that anyway. And it is the 50th anniversary of the organization, although it's changed names a couple of times. And it is connected to national organizations that are in favor of bringing about peace in this world.
Yes.
What a concept, imagine. But tell us a little bit about the nature of the organization, the history, and the present, and maybe you can summon that up in maybe three to five minutes.
I want to thank both UJ and Susan as well for having me on the program today. I was once a student at this fine institution many, many years ago.
Great.
Actually, Peace Action, as you alluded to earlier, has changed names a few times. It originally began in 1957 as Committee for Sane Nuclear Policy, also commonly known as SANE. It was the largest grassroots peace organization in the nation within the first year, I would say, of its inception. Many will remember that the nuclear freeze movement emerged during the late 70s and the early 80s as a brainchild of Randall Forsberg, a young arms researcher who just died recently, actually. So SANE and Freeze actually merged in 1987, became known as SANE Freeze, and then in 1993, SANE Freeze renamed itself Peace Action, which is where we are today. And yes, we did just have our 50th anniversary, a local celebration by our chapter of the organization. It was at the Westin Hotel on November the 11th, Veterans Day. Randy Rhodes was our keynote speaker from Air America Radio, and she gave a speech that I will only describe as a barn burner. She was introduced by John Conyers, who's, of course, the head of the House Judiciary Committee, and it was a very, very interesting day. It was standing room only, just a great program start to finish, music, the speech, video, the whole thing.
It's always a good idea as a fundraiser for any worthy nonprofit organization to try to bring in a nationally known speaker too, and have a big festivity of whatever sort, a big get together. It is a good way to do fundraising. Even we mention frequently the Animal Shelter in Dearborn, which is run by the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, which is actually a nonprofit group separate from the city. And they have taken over the operation under contract from the city, and they're doing a really fine job. I don't want to say better than what the city used to do, mm-hmm. but actually at a lower cost, too. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they have to have a lot of fundraisers, but sometimes they bring in big names and to help the cause, too. Mm-hmm. Susan Morell, our news director, was there at the speech. Oh, she got an autographed picture.
Yes, I have mine, too, Susan.
Of Randy Rhodes there.
Yes, it was a wonderful event. It was my introduction to Peace Action of Michigan, and I was very fortunate that I was able to attend. And so Jay invited me, and he enlightened me on the group, and there were lots of very aware people there in the group, and then I had the good fortune to actually meet Randy Rhodes, and she gave me an autograph picture, and it says, "Susan, love you always." And she signed it, Randy and Simon, and that's from her dog, and she made a little paw print of her dog.
Yeah. So. Well, she definitely captivated the crowd.
Let's talk about the basic concept of Peace Action in Michigan. Obviously, the goal is to stop people from killing each other, which almost seems too logical or rational. In fact, I thought it was the first concept of the Ten Commandments for those Judeo-Christian worshipers out there, and it's a basic tenet of most organized religions, too. Thou shalt not kill. But it doesn't seem to be working out too well. We are beset and besieged. I don't even like to use the word civilization very much, because it seems that a prime characteristic of our so-called civilizations is to go to war rather frequently, mm-hmm. too. And we're one of the few species on the planet that decides to, for whatever reasons, or maybe doesn't decide, just allows it to happen, that we kill our own species. And not for survival of the species purposes, but just for various reasons. Greed, power, perception of power, whatever, things mm-hmm. that are I don't call them very rational. If the goal is known, there are many organizations, nonprofit. There's political candidates running on Let's Get Out of Iraq platforms, which might be called a peace platform. Why your organization? How is your organization different than if you don't have to delineate it? But I'm also a member. I am a member, folks. This is time to tell you my background too. Here, I'm a member of Peace Action of Michigan. At least I pay money. I give them donations. That's kind of a weak liberal way to support anything, I guess. But I'm also a member of Pax Christi, which mm-hmm. is the Roman Catholic organization that is also involved here. So what makes the mission of Peace Action a little bit different than or significantly different from some of the other nonprofit groups, and maybe even you want to draw a big comparison between Peace Action and the other groups and the political forum?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, Peace Action is the largest national grassroots peace organization in the country. And although primarily our focus from the beginning has been on the stopping the nuclear arms race, certainly there we have a somewhat wide scope in our program. We oppose the war in Iraq. We decry the terrible misdirection of so much of our taxpayer funds to war as opposed to human needs. We have spoken out against a number of different weapon systems. The MX missile deployment in the 80s was an example of that, where after the basing in Nevada on trains was essentially struck down, the Reagan administration sought to take the MX missile to other parts of the country. And actually, there was a proposal to deploy MX missiles on rail cars here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. You look at a number of things also in terms of weapon systems like the D-5 missile. A key factor here is the first strike nature of these weapons. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's a question of opposing nuclear weapons, opposing the war in Iraq. Certainly, we're looking at another intervention, unless we are extremely vigilant, and that, of course, is the threat of the attack of an attack on Iran. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, as if things are not chaotic enough already.
Yeah. In terms of what you do on a daily, annual basis, mm-hmm. I'm aware, but I've never been able to take part, although it sounds like fun, is an actual protest at a nuclear weapons facility in Tennessee.
Yes,
that usually happens in the first weekend in August each year.
Yeah, I think it's been changed to April of next year.
I see.
The heat has been extremely oppressive at times. Mm-hmm. But yes, the Peace Action has taken an active role in participating with the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance, OREPA, in calling for the shutdown of the Y-12 plant in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So that is, yes, another focus.
And what happens, you go there and you demonstrate by picketing signs?
Yes, and folks have committed nonviolent civil disobedience, I believe.
Stepping across a line or a border or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not throwing stones or...
No, truly in the tradition of Gandhi and
Martin Luther King Jr.
And King, exactly.
Yes, right, which is nonviolence can actually win wars and battles. And I trust that some of our listeners here in Dearborn have studied world history, and it's actually the Gandhian type of nonviolent resistance over about 30 or 40 years did kick the British out of India.
Exactly.
I mean, it actually liberated India from the foreign influence of England. It sometimes takes a while. Of course, India is a big country, and there were people that got hurt. There were some people that weren't following the path. There were some British soldiers that got out of control at times, and some people did get injured. But the history of nonviolent resistance is something, unfortunately, not taught in the schools. That most history courses, it's a history of war, and war is seen, well, at least from the victor's standpoint, as being a good thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we won. We, you know, got rid of the bad people who, of course, significantly became bad after the other people won.
Right.
You know, history is always rewritten by the winners, and you forget the other causes. I think in the United States there, in the so-called Civil War, the war between the states, you know, all the North was better because we were against slavery. But, you know, those Southerners, they're not such bad people either. You know, there were reasons why they got into that situation.
Right.
And so there's always two sides or three or four sides to every issue that if we can respect the differences between human beings, maybe we wouldn't have this. Well, I don't want to be on a soapbox here, but the essence of Peace Action of Michigan is to, of course, in whatever nonviolent ways you can think of, is to get attention for a more appropriate social and political choices.
And hoping for a better, an improvement in the political climate in this country, because I think that Peace Action actually advocates a more democratic, small-d foreign policy than we've seen, certainly offered by the Republicans, where war seems to be the option of first resort rather than the option of last resort. You were mentioning Dr. King, as was I, and I wanted to call your listeners' attention to an event on Monday, January 21st, of course, the 2008 National Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday, which is at Central United Methodist Church on Woodward and Adams at downtown Detroit at noon. And Reverend Dr. Lucius Walker, who will be speaking there as the keynote. He's the director of IFCO, Interreligious Foundation for Community Organization. And it's an annual event that Peace Action takes part in, along with our good friend Reverend Rowe from Central United Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Peace Action, of course, also is part of the Detroit Area Peace and Justice Network, which is an umbrella organization of, I believe it's 25, 26 peace organizations in the Metro Detroit area.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Keith Gunter here at WHFR live in the WHFR studios today, 4 days before Christmas, but on topics that are important every day of the year. I mean, imagine if we could have the spirit of Christmas, if that is about love and respect and kindness to one another, every day. Some of us that don't like what Christmas has become, that is the materialistic side, the greedy side, the selfish side, where money is some sign of love instead of direct contact. It's actually, you know, something we hope for all the time. But getting back to the point, I get so distracted this time of year, that Keith is here. And by the way, in terms of your own background, Keith, your title with Peace Action of Michigan is?
I'm one of the co-chairs of Peace Action, the local chapter. Helen Weber is my senior co-chair, and I'm just really proud to share with your listeners the fact that my co-chair, Helen Weber, has been elected to national co-chair with a national organization.
Oh, great.
And certainly wish her well in that.
How did you get involved with Peace Action in Michigan? Let's just do that.
It began...
Because maybe other people here in Dearborn might want to get involved,
too. That's a very good question, Jay, because it was back during the when the nuclear freeze movement took off in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. Michael Betzold, who used to write for the Detroit Free Press, now writes for the Ann Arbor News, wrote an article, a cover page article in Detroit Magazine, which basically gave a hypothetical scenario of a 1 megaton nuclear warhead detonating at the intersection of I-94 and I-75, and just what the effect of that would be. And I want your listeners to remember that this was at a time when Ronald Reagan was in office and was openly talking about nuclear war as winnable and as a viable policy option.
Yeah.
Literally scared the daylights out of the American people. And a year later, in June of 82, there were 1 million people in Central Park protesting the nuclear arms race. But to get back to asking about my own personal involvement, that article really was something of an I think epiphany is the right word, but it brought me to action, and I joined the Detroit Area Nuclear Weapons Freeze Campaign, which is what the local chapter was called in those days.
Yeah.
And from there, I joined the board in 1993 of, still the Detroit Area Nuclear Weapons Freeze Campaign, I think. And I became co-chair in 1996, so I've been co-chair for 11 years now, and my responsibilities and activities have been on a wide range of issues and events since that time.
And you have a little more free time now since you're retired from your day job.
Yes, I used to be a telecommunications specialist for AT&T.
Really?
At three telephone central offices right here in Dearborn. Oh. And had the opportunity to retire in October of last year. So yes, I do have more free time to pursue other interests.
Well, it's too bad in a way that you left, because my AT&T service is terrible now. But and I'm sure
so
it's because you retired. But
I trust they'll work that out for you.
I switched.
Yeah, I was telling him I liked AT&T before.
It's
it was
a pacifist thing. I'd rather switch than fight. You know, but
before it was broken up into all these other companies.
Yeah, we're in another topic now. Thank you.
Yes, I don't think I can get in trouble for that.
Okay. Well, I have to ask a tough question here. Now, first of all, if anyone would like to volunteer for any organizations, it's a wonderful thing to consider. What a gift to the world, to society, something you believe in. Volunteer your time. It doesn't have to be full time,
exactly.
Although it is for Keith probably,
no,
or more than full time.
No,
but
I spend a significant amount of time, but no, I wouldn't characterize it as a full time.
Well, it doesn't take that much if everybody sort of wants to work together, and if you're working with good people,
I believe we have 18 people on our local board, and just a very, very fine group of people who work very well together, and proud to be with them.
Yeah, yeah. You actually do have an office. At least it's got a room number. Anyway, it's on West 9 Mile Road, 195 West 9 Mile Road. 195 West 9 Mile. It must be by Woodward?
Yes.
In Ferndale?
Yes, it's one block west of Woodward.
And it's in Ferndale there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the phone number, folks, is 248-548-3920. But I know unless you're listening to the show as a podcast and can rewind it easily, Peace Action Mich, M-I-C-H, for Michigan.org is the website, and they
correct.
Can get information more easily that way. So Peace Action Mich. Now, there is a Peace Action National website, too, so and that'll direct you to the Michigan one.
Yes, I'm sure there's a link on our website
there is.
That will direct you to the national office.
And back and forth, in fact, right.
Yes.
But it's if you did join, you'd want to get involved locally in some way, if you could. And there's all kinds of things that they're doing, such as the trip to Tennessee in
April.
We did
a peace train. We did a second peace train to Chicago for a Midwest regional demonstration back in, I believe it was late October. And in September, we partnered with Northwest Ohio peace groups and also with groups in the Detroit Area Peace and Justice Network in presenting Arlington Midwest, which was a grave marker display in downtown Detroit at Grand Central Grand Circus Park, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a very, very powerful non-political statement about the human cost of war, and that basically was the subtitle, the human cost.
Your organization does try to stay as much as possible non-political, and I say as much as possible because when it comes down to final election times and there are candidates on the ballot, it's usually pretty obvious which one will be, which one will be someone who seems like they would support issues or programs that are
and
closer to
of course, there are certain
peace.
Restrictions that 501c3 and 501c4 groups, what they can do and
your
what they
nonprofit
can't do.
Status, you can't become a political lobbyist or you lose that nonprofit.
That's correct.
At least the donation. Anyway, you can still be an organization, but you don't get donations, which is true of many organizations like Sierra Club. People say, well, that must be nonprofit tree huggers and all that. It's actually a wonderful, wonderful organization, but no, your donation directly to Sierra, the Sierra Club, are not deductible because they do a lot of political lobbying and they do support candidates. They do have a separate foundation that they formed that you can put money into and it does good things too.
Yes.
But for the donation deduction link.
That would be, for as far as Peace Action goes, of Michigan, it would be the Peace Action of Michigan Education Fund.
Yes, you have one too.
Yes, indeed
so,
we do.
They'll take money, time, whatever you have. Let me ask, two questions that are still in my mind, and one's a more difficult one. But what is currently your political stance of the organization, let's say nationally, just encouraging people to look for candidates that agree with peace through nonviolence and understanding, compassion, justice?
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate.
Because there's only two, at least in the Democrat and Republican parties, which are the only ones that have gotten any national media, commercial media publicity right now, that are clearly, I would say, peace advocates and nonviolent peace advocates.
You have to
and that
say
would be Dennis Kucinich in the Democratic Party, and surprisingly, Ron Paul in the Republican Party, since he wants us out of Vietnam immediately, too. I know he's a pro-gun advocate, but still.
Out of Iraq.
Out of Iraq, yes. Oh, I said, which one did I say? Out of Iran?
You said Vietnam.
Oh, Vietnam.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. Well, that shows my
I've done it myself.
Reference period. Yeah.
But that's okay. We know what's on the agenda here.
I don't think we have to leave Vietnam right now. Not doing too
actually,
much damage
if I,
there.
Actually, if I may just
sure.
add a personal note, my brother and my sister-in-law adopted an infant girl from Vietnam some years ago, and they just got back from Vietnam adopting a second Vietnamese. So now I have two seven-year-old Vietnamese nieces. So.
Congratulations.
Personal aside there, as long as we're talking about Vietnam.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, it's different, right?
Supporting life wherever you find it is an important thing. And it's wonderful to adopt children from anywhere, I think, that you can give love and support to. Here's the tough question, then, and that is, how much difference has it really made? The demonstrations the physical protest, even the minor acts of civil disobedience, of getting arrested in Tennessee. Is it like the Gandhi thing? It takes 30, 40 years or hundreds of years. When can this idea of peace really begin to take hold, do you think? It just seems to me that, especially back in 2003, when we knew that the direction George Bush was going to invade Iraq, we pretty clearly knew it was going to happen. We had, thanks to the internet, the largest demonstrations, activists around the world, as well as the United States, getting in the streets, getting out there.
Literally millions of people.
The biggest one ever, and it didn't stop it.
I understand that.
Your question is a
hard one.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old Margaret Mead quote, you know, something to the effect, never doubt the power of a group of small committed individuals to affect change.
Believe it or not.
Because that's the only thing that ever has.
Someone just gave us that poster of that same quote, Margaret Mead, the famous anthropologist, that never doubt that a small committed group of individuals can cause significant social change.
Right.
And we're going to frame it and hang it right here in WHFR.
Okay.
In fact. I was already told by our general manager she'd let it happen. So,
Susan J., I'll take it a little further and say that let's recognize that even with those massive demonstrations, that public opinion, it's hard for me to really remember and fathom that in those days public opinion was actually heavily in favor of going to war in Iraq, and despite the massive demonstration, but what I'm saying here is that those demonstrations and the work that we all did in those days has helped to lay the groundwork for public opinion what it is today. 70% of the American people want us out of Iraq. 75% of the American people disapprove of George Bush's handling of his office.
Yes, but Keith, is true, and I agree with you totally. The change has appeared in the consciousness of people, but why does the war continue? Why
because
is it that the majority...
We continue to fund it.
But the majority of people, it seems we would have more control over our own politicians than we do.
Right. Well, I think that the work that we do sets the stage, and I think that how history has played out in the last 5 years, as we're in year five of this occupation. Let's remember, this is an occupation.
Mm-hmm.
The American public at large is coming to see that we were right. And so it is helping to set the stage for what I hope is going to be a significant change in the political climate in this country next year, and that we really can have some effect.
I think there's two aspects of this. First of all, whether or not the specific war in Iraq was the right thing to do. It was a preemptive strike, and the grounds for it, the rationale from the President of the United States were
weapons
not true.
Weapons of mass destruction and connection.
They did not prove to be true,
exactly.
And it looks like that people might have even known they weren't true before we got involved. But secondly, the idea, and folks, my second revelation, not just that I'm a Peace Action of Michigan supporter, but I've said this before, and especially at Christmas times, I'm philosophically a pacifist. And that doesn't mean that I'm always just a nice guy, but it does mean that I don't believe that violence is an answer for any situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little more radical even, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. But it does have a mindset, is that if you have a difficult problem in the world, maybe a threat of violence against you, you don't choose violence as the first response or the second or third, or you try to avoid it at all, in every possible scenario you can possibly think of. And I know that a lot of people disagree with that. Oh, mm-hmm. World War II was a good war. There were bad people, and mm-hmm. they were going to kill us if we didn't kill them first.
Right.
And it was good to drop the bomb on the Japanese. It
that
saved,
certainly is. That's a big issue with us as well.
Lives. Yeah. I mean, there's a second awareness that's behind this, and I know you probably do have a lot of true pacifists who are part of Peace Action.
Mm-hmm.
But you fight you know, as they say, you fight these nonviolent battles one at a time, right. step by step.
Right.
It seems that you are fighting from a, and I'm a telecommunications professor, although a little different than your telecom background, which is
right.
like telephony.
Technician. Right, exactly.
but in my background in research, it seems that the media don't give equal attention to all sides of these issues. Even approaching the war in Iraq, it's now, you know, the New York Times even apologized. Gee, we could have critiqued and pointed out the errors in the president's arguments. We had the information. We just didn't do our job.
Right.
This is the New York Times, supposed right. the paper of record, even
all
the paper
news,
of people
all
many see is very liberal, but they let the president get away with this.
All the news that's fit to print, or all the news that's print to fit, depending on how you want to look at that.
Yeah.
I just want to do a quick example to underscore what you're talking about in terms of the media's failure to cover anti-war dissent in this country. I remember going to a massive demonstration in Washington in the run-up to the first Gulf War in 1991. There were 250,000 people in Washington, D.C. There was absolutely no television coverage of this nationally. There was barely even any mention of it in print media. In fact, I remember coming home from Washington and having to search for the local coverage of that massive demonstration I had just been to, and it turned up as one square inch of newsprint in the Sunday Detroit News under a headline about a foreign demonstration. So we're talking about one step short of outright censorship, and that's one example, and there are many.
Well, I'm sure Randy Rhodes was a great speaker for you, but even Air America, the station that she's one of the DJs, the talk show host on, is not clearly giving much attention to the pacifist or the peace action side of things, that they are following more the traditional stance or the more centrist, much more centrist stance of the Democratic Party. You know, Hillary Clinton gets always good words from them, as in Kucinich is minimized. Even John Stewart minimizes Kucinich and, mm-hmm. and makes fun of him because he's got a beautiful wife.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? How can you make fun of a man who's got a beautiful wife? Fred Thompson makes fun of her, and he gets extra strokes for it. Is it what's your favorite possession? He says, my
yeah.
trophy wife.
Yeah.
So but you can make fun of Kucinich and so easily, even from liberals. Kucinich admitted he saw a UFO. It just means he didn't know what it was, and it wasn't identified, and they make fun of him for that, you know. It's so unfortunate that the commercial media...
That's more Stephanie Miller's, I think. That's her territory on the morning in terms of comedy. But I think you will get some critical analysis from people like Randy Rhodes and Tom Hartman and Ed Schultz on Air America. So clearly, I think they're one of the few alternatives for progressive talk. Anyway.
Yeah, my point is that there's this philosophical underpinnings here mm-hmm. of not just pacifism, which some people think is a sort of a weak or wimpy kind of attitude about life, but let's talk about love and justice, you know, and not killing one another, folks, the First Amendment thing. That attitude, how do we bring that about? That might be a more interesting question, which is why I guess I'm also a supporter of Pax Christi. In
right.
fact, I'm old enough. I was in Detroit when Father Thomas Hinsberg actually formed Pax Christi,
mm-hmm.
Which became the national organization, and still Reverend Thomas Gumbleton mm-hmm. is still in charge.
Good friend of Peace Action.
Right,
yes.
And he's involved in many of these same demonstrations, although usually with a Catholic ceremony.
Yeah.
And they believe in the power of prayer, of course, too. Pray for peace always. And I think anything that might work here, folks, you should try it all, except don't go against the whole concept and get violent about it.
Right. Well, just the two words, two names, action certainly is our last name. And peace is our first name,
right?
And that's our message. And certainly, the values you talk about are at our core. Before we run out of time here, I just wanted to let your listeners know about a couple of other events that are coming up. One is later this afternoon,
today.
Downtown Royal Oak, Peace on Earth and the War. third Friday Iraq Moratorium Peace Walk. It's being sponsored by the 11th Hour for Peace, which is a new peace group in Oakland County that I'm sure we're going to be working with. And that's at, at 4:30 today, there will be a gathering at the First Royal Oak First United Methodist Church at 320 West 7th Street at 4:30. And at about 10 after 5, there will be a 1 mile march through downtown Royal Oak. And the other event is on January the 26th, Saturday, from 2 to 4 o'clock at First United Methodist Church of Ferndale, Iran Threat, Another Lie, which is, here we go again, folks, weapons of mass destruction. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about the new national intelligence estimate that showed that Iran stopped its nuclear weapons program in 2003. And George W. Bush acted as if he were completely deaf and took no change in his policy toward Iran.
How would you best recommend that people keep up to date on these activities? And many of them are not just let's go and get arrested or something, folks. It really they're informational. They're spiritual. They're supportive of the community. And since this isn't reported even usually in the free press or the news that these events are coming up, what's the best way for people to find out about these other activities, Peace Action and the other peace groups sponsor locally, so they can get more information?
Well, certainly, stay in touch with Peace Action and the Detroit Area Peace with Justice Network. You can get wind of a lot of different events and programs that are going on. Diverse sources of information, I think, are really important in terms of what you listen to, whether it's Air America or National Public Radio or The Nation magazine, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. There's a wide range of publications and broadcasts out there that will allow people to access this kind of information.
For your specific local activities, though, you probably need to get on your mailing list. Would
absolutely.
You say that's the best approach? I mean, go to the website, but I know how nonprofits are. It's hard to keep your website up to date.
Yes. I would urge your listeners to give our office a call at area code 248-548-3920 and leave your name and address and telephone number, and let's get connected.
And sure. What's your website?
Again, go ahead. It is peaceactionmish.org.
Thank you very much,
peaceactionmich.org. And that has their phone number on it, folks, and they are the key central organization, and there are many other ways to keep informed. They don't have the only point of view or the only approaches here, but they are sort of this great umbrella organization that does keep in touch with all the different ways that you can actually do something. Yes, the political process is important. Don't give up on that, folks.
Yep.
Try to find out the best candidates to vote for in the future, but by all means do other things too, that the political process alone, that's not going to be the total answer.
Yeah, we're in touch with over 2,000 households in the Metro Detroit area, and we have over 100,000 national members in more than 30 chapters from coast to coast. And the last thing is that the Student Peace Action Network is active on over 100 campuses, and perhaps Henry Ford Community College might be number 101.
Well,
really appreciate the opportunity to come over today, folks.
Thank you so much for being with us. Keith Gunter of Peace Action of Michigan, Nuclear Free Great Lakes Campaign, Peace Worldwide. Imagine. Let's see if we can give that a try.
Actually,
wish I had John Lennon's song here.
Nuclear Weapon Nuclear Free Great Lakes Campaign is actually another organization that I'm affiliated with.
It is too.
With.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, there's so many. Yes,
yes,
and there it all ties together, and hopefully in this the holiday spirit can inspire people to want to maybe volunteer some of their time in helping their favorite nonprofit. A core issue I think is if you're not alive, you can't have these other good things happening on the planet either. that peace, the absence of killing, but more than that, not just everybody in prison, but actually treating everyone fairly and decently and with respect is a big goal. And you have to do everything you can get to in every aspect of the approach, political, maybe spiritual, as well as helping the appropriate nonprofits in their motion, because they keep the pressure on the politicians, you know.
We try.
It's very important. So thanks very much,
Thank
Keith
you
Gunter.
So much. Sure, appreciate your time.
In the holiday spirit, we know you must be busy planning the next activity too. So we'll keep in touch. That's for
Please
sure.
Please do.
This is WHFR.FM. More of the new WHFR Journal will continue after these very non-commercial messages.
Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing Happy Birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Are you planning to enroll at HFCC this winter? Well, just so you know, the college will be closed December 22nd till January 1st. But we have good news. If you've already completed the admissions process, you can still register online. Visit hfcc.edu/webadvisor. The college will reopen January 2nd for in-person registration. But don't wait too long. Classes begin January 7th.
Highway 61, the longest highway that I know. Highway 61.
Highway 61 offers nothing but the finest in a wide variety of blues every Friday from 2 until 6 p.m. From the front porch to the concert stage, featuring local, national, and international blues, Highway 61 has something just for you. I'm Joanne Korchenska, and you are welcome to join me as I cruise down that historic highway every Friday from 2 until 6 p.m. Only on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Independent radio at its very best since 1985.
Joanne Korchenska, Joanne K., will be here at 2 o'clock with her Highway 61 show. 4 hours of the best in blues, especially local Detroit area blues, and that's always an exciting moment. But here on the new WHFR Journal, we do again want to thank Keith Gunther, Gunter from the Peace Action of Michigan group for being here live in the studio with us and talking about that whole peace thing. Yeah. Okay. Let's get Susan Morell's microphone up, our news director, and I promised my folks, Susan, that I'd share Reverend Billy's 100 words, his Christmas statement here. As we know, Reverend Billy is the performance artist who is not a real reverend, but he is anti-shopping. And there's a great basis of truth in his satire and cause for thought. Well, here's his 100-word sermon. It's called The Ho-Ho-Ho of Holy Christmas Future. He says, thousands of emails are saying, Reverend, our family is buying nothing. You know, part of their idea is not just to support Buy Nothing Day after Thanksgiving, but a Buy Nothing Christmas. Another email says, we're local only, buying local products only, things that are actually made within, say, 100 miles or within your state. What a concept. And another email says, Reverend Billy, we've agreed to a $10 limit per gift. Of course, that's, you know, times 500 gifts, that still adds up, I guess. But and he goes on to say, so this is very positive emails coming into his website, which is revbilly.com, revbilly.com, if you want to check this out. Again, it is a commercial, private sort of thing, so we're not recommending it here, but it's just very interesting to see his point of view. He goes on to conclude here, from all walks of life, he says, we are separating the corporate Santa from our act of love. This puts the revolution in reverend. Big box shopping actually is down this year. That's from the big merchandisers, such as Walmart, easy Target here. So that shopping, those numbers are down. And he says a homemade peaceful, ooh, there's that word again, peace, peaceful, sweat-free economy is brewing. The best preacher is the wind and the rain, the fire and floods. Wow, that's getting metaphoric. And he concludes with, our bigger life has a Christmas message. And there's his quote. Stop the car, open the door, pause the eye gadget, and embrace a total stranger. Unquote. Isn't that pretty? He says, Reverend Billy says, we wish you a fearless, foolish Christmas. If you love your country, stop shopping. Change aloha. Isn't that sweet?
Change aloha?
Well, instead of hallelujah.
Oh, okay.
You know,
he has quite a way with words.
Change aloha.
He has quite a way with words.
Well, he has to if he's going to stay in business, you know. But,
very interesting but, philosophy. Yeah.
We see him here on his website. He did an oration outside a Swatch shop. Swatch is a product that makes, I think, watches and other things, many other things, including cars in Europe. But anyway, he goes around, and there's a new movie coming out, although I don't... Somebody is keeping it from being of opening before Christmas, and it's really terrible. It is going to open on December 21st at certain cities around the country. It's a documentary on his crusade, which is a for-profit personal thing, but there's some basic truth and real realization into it. It's called What Would Jesus Buy? And just a thought, folks. You can, if you want to find out more about that, just go to revbilly.com. So we're not endorsing your buying or supporting that, but it's too bad that this documentary feature on his life and his campaign and the actual real meaning behind it, it looks to me like distributors are a little bit leery from putting it out before Christmas, except in a couple of cities and then just a couple days before. So people will already have their shopping done, unfortunately.
Well, is it any surprise that we live in a controlled environment, Jay?
No, it's the way to fight those terrorists. Just keep shopping, according to our president. You had some words from Ralph Nader.
Yes, and I heard a rumor that Ralph Nader is actually thinking of running, throwing his head in the ring for president this time. He's thinking about it, but he hasn't decided. But I went on to commondreams.org, and Ralph Nader gives his holiday reading recommendations, and he gives a number of them here, and I'll just briefly talk about a few if you're interested, if you have time. If you decide not to shop and you want to go home and read a book, you could check it out from the library, or you could buy the book and stay home and not shop anymore. There's an interesting one here called The Man Who Hated Work and Loved Labor, The Life and Times of Tony Mazzocchi. And in Ralph Nader's philosophy, he is the greatest labor leader of our generation. So that might be worth reading.
The title of that again?
The Man Who Hated Work and Loved Labor.
Oh, that's a long time. The Man Who Hated Work and Loved Labor.
Labor, yeah, okay. He's the greatest, great
recommendation,
labor.
Ralph Nader. Okay, what's next?
There's another one called Corpocracy. Corpocracy.
Oh, that's not easy.
And the subtitle is How CEOs and the Business Roundtable Hijack the World's Greatest Wealth Machine and How to Get It Back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very readable journey through the pits and peaks of corporate greed and power that shows the light at the end of the tunnel.
I think, really, that giving books as Christmas presents, books that are actually, well, I know there's fiction out there. There's the Harry Potter series is over now. But actually giving books on social and political topics that will allow people to read and think in depth, you know, not be victims of what they see on a particular 24-hour news channel, is a great idea for Christmas.
Well,
okay,
it
might
it
cost
is a
more
great
than $10
idea.
Each, although you could shop at Amazon.com and get discounts. All, but it's you know, giving books, and it's true. I've given some DVDs already at Christmas that are documentary features, such as Michael Moore's Sicko, for example, which I think is essential viewing for and thinking about for everybody in our country. Michael Moore aside, I don't care how you feel about Michael Moore, you should see Sicko. Okay, and it won't make you sicko at all. It'll make you very knowledgeable about some issues. And then you need to read books. Another book?
And here's another book about the environment. It's called Building the Green Economy, Success Stories from the Grassroots. And it's a practical book regarding successful green businesses and neighborhood initiatives that live sustainably. Mm-hmm. And then there's another book called The Four Freedoms Under Siege. And the four freedoms are the freedom of speech, the freedom to worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. And then there's another book about Medicare, facts, myths, problems, and promise. And these are authorities who discuss health care in Canada and the United States. And then there's another one called Nobody's, Modern American Slave Labor and the Dark Side of the New Global Economy. Mm. So that definitely probably won't cheer you up for those the holidays.
Those are heavy-duty books. I haven't heard of those. But Ralph Nader, of course, he has websites. You could just Google or ask.com Ralph Nader, and you can probably get those. He keeps his websites up very, very well, and I think he's been a significant figure. There's a documentary feature about him that was done over the last several years because, unfortunately, his reputation has been tarnished somewhat by some negativists in the last couple of political campaigns that feel, well, number one, and I think totally wrongly, that he caused George Bush to be elected, maybe in both campaigns, but especially in the 2000 campaign against Al Gore, that he took votes away that would have gone to Gore if he hadn't have been in the race. And that's such a simplistic argument. If you look at that in detail, it's really quite bogus. But the documentary feature, folks, on Ralph Nader is also valuable watching and thinking about. It's called An Unreasonable Man.
Well, Jay, I heard that there was a documentary this week on PBS, Channel 56, about Ralph Nader.
That was it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I missed it. I did not know it was on.
This DVD is An Unreasonable Man is available. Almost any DVD rental outlet has it now.
Oh, okay.
And you should be able to get that as well as maybe buy it. But it's not totally complimentary. It shows the problems he got into by trying to be so unreasonable. Unreasonable in the sense of being very dedicated and being very single-minded about the goals, many of which were, by the way, peace-related and also, of course, anti-corporate greed and destructive capitalism or disaster capitalism, as it's sometimes referred to in the last year. So it's all issues are more simple than what you might imagine, but it's easy enough, I think, if you can sit down and read either very good newspapers regularly or books. And
Jay, I have a question about the last election when Ralph Nader was running. Was he allowed to debate with the two major parties when they went on the air on televised debates, do you recall?
No, he wasn't, because the debates, the official final debates, are organized and set up by the Democrats and Republicans through a seemingly bland and not partisan or not completely fair group that they set up through Congress. But the Democrats and Republicans have set up all the guidelines of who can be in those debates. And so third-party candidates, even if they're on the ballot, will not be part of those debates now or in the future. And that's a fraud. I mean, what are the Democrats and Republicans afraid of? You know, it's a complete travesty in a democracy to keep the all of the legitimate candidates for an office out of the debates. That is not the way democracy should happen, and it has not been happening thanks to the Democrats and Republicans setting up these debate organizations and committees that effectively set up rules to make sure, well, if you have less than 5% of support according to certain polls, okay, well, of course they have less support because they can't get on the media. They can't get fair attention, even from the New York Times. Even Ralph Nader campaigned for president. He was on in 2000 in a lot of states. 40 or more states had him on the ballot out of 50. I think 48 states, in fact, had him on the ballot. And he got an article about 2 or 3 inches long way, way back in the paper, maybe every 2 or 3 days, whereas the Democratic and, you know, Gore and Bush get all the coverage. Well, it's like he wasn't existing. He wasn't making speeches every day. He wasn't saying stuff. And this happened to Ross Perot. This happened to many other candidates who were not part of the Democrat and Republican Party. And it's not accidental, folks. It is a conspiracy of the two major parties who are not always right. But I think in a democracy, we should not be in favor of that kind of closed debates and discussions. And
I think that Ralph Nader wanted to attend one of those debates, and he was told that if he showed up, he would be arrested.
He was forcibly removed from a couple of the conventions, I know, when he tried to just even sit in the galleries.
Well, I mean, that's outrageous, so, isn't it?
Well, I think so. But again, I believe in democracy. I have this other comment. We were reading Best Wishes, and it's only 4 days before Christmas, folks, or depending how you look at the time, 3 days till midnight, the 25th. But in any event, Ishmael Ahmed has some words here in the Press and Guide from last Wednesday, just 2 days ago, December 19th. He calls it, or at least the editors call it, the most wonderfully excessive time of the year. And I thought we'd just read his opinion. You know, he has now been moved up from Access in Dearborn to helping our state social services. And he's head of social services now in Michigan, but still, of course, a big part of Dearborn. He is, in fact, the new title is Director of Michigan Department of Human Services. What can be more important than that? Human Services. Shouldn't every department be the Department of Human Services? Shouldn't that be the nature of all government?
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, we have a separate department for it, which means the other departments don't care about human services. I don't know who else they'd be helping. And this is what Ishmael Ahmed says, and he has a list of things to keep in mind, too. But we just want to share this with you, and then I think we've got to go. Yeah, only 2 minutes before Highway 61 gets started. He says, this is a magical time of year as images of snow-covered pines, reindeer with red roses, and chestnuts roasting on open fire blaze in our memory. In fact, I'm going to start the Christmas song that Susan Morell, my news director, has suggested today, and we're going to make that a bed underneath these comments as we fade out here.
Yes.
But happy holidays to all of you.
Yes, happy holidays.
Oh, yes, that's going to be lovely. David Benoit?
Yes.
David Benoit. Okay. The Christmas song, of course. So here's what Ishmael Ahmed has to say. He says, we've got a lot of problems in Michigan. Almost 1 in 5 Michigan residents live in or near poverty, and almost 30% are considered low income. What does poverty mean in Michigan? A lot of people sick, can't get health care, a lot of people out of work. I'm just summarizing here. So fear, joblessness, homelessness, and hunger walk hand in hand with poverty. For those who live in poverty, the holidays can be a reminder of what they have lost or never had. They need hope, the kind of hope that comes when committed people take on a task to eliminate the dreadful effects of poverty and the way it shatters lives. What can one person do? You're taking notes out there, folks. This is Ishmael Ahmed making some suggestions for the holiday season. Number one, consider cutting back on holiday excess and focusing some of your holiday generosity on a charity, a nonprofit, folks, that helps the poor. Food banks are especially important this time of year. Number two, speak out. In the 1960s, poverty was considered the most important social issue of our time. Contact your elected local officials and tell them that you think poverty is a crisis and you want them to tackle that issue with vigor. Number three, volunteer your time to a community soup kitchen, a fundraising project at your place of worship, or ringing a bell at the Salvation Army kettle. Your time can be a precious holiday gift. Doing something about this will help.